Would you open your Bible this morning to the book of Psalms, right in the very middle of the Bible? You know, the book of Psalms is the largest book in our Bible, and it's probably the most used book in the Bible. I used this very book this past Friday. It has the most, probably I would say, the most familiar chapter in all the Bible is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Most of us learned that long, long, long ago. And one of the most beloved chapters in the Bible is also in the book of Psalms. It's in Psalm 103. So if you'll open your Bible to Psalm 103, we're going to look at that portion of Scripture, and we're going to be blessed in a very special way this morning. Psalm 103. Now, it's an interesting thing about Psalm 103. There is not a single prayer in this psalm. The majority, or at least many of the psalms, as you read the psalm, there will be at least a prayer, sometimes more than one prayer, in the psalm. Some of the psalms, the entire psalm is a prayer. But Psalm 103, zero prayer in this psalm. It's all about praise. And it's a very, very beautiful psalm. Let's look at just these first verses. In Psalm 103, verse 1, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And then verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then beginning in verse number 3, we have a list of the benefits. And we will look at the first on that list in a very few minutes. But I want us to think this morning for a moment about what the Bible is saying. Look at it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What we have here, David wrote this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We have a man talking to himself. As you read this entire psalm, bless the Lord. We have a man's soul talking to his own soul. And sometimes you do that, we all do. We just kind of have our soul talking to our own soul. And what he says is a very interesting thing. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless all that is within me. Bless His holy name." And then, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Another translation that's a very good translation translates it a little different, but it gets the point across in a very clear way. It says, "My soul." Your soul is your mind and your emotions and your will. Your soul is who you are. We oftentimes think about, you know, one another, and we see one another and we see ourselves, but what we see bodies. I see your body. You see my body. Inside of our bodies lives our soul. And what the Bible is saying to us here, "My soul, bless the Lord." Or the normal, the New King James says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You know, actually, in one sense, it is not possible for you or for me to bless God. I mean, how in the world are you going to bring all of your nothingness and give to the all-sufficient God? I mean, what can we give God? But in another sense, we can bless God. And that's what Psalm 103 teaches us to do. It's a very, very interesting thing. Had the Bible said, "Praise the Lord," that's a reasonable thing. All of us can praise God. But the Bible says, "Bless the Lord." And if the Bible says it, it is so. Because the Bible says everything in it is true. And that's a wonderful thing to know. So the question is, how can we bless God? That's a good question. And the answer to that is in this very psalm. In fact, the answer to that is in the very first two verses. One of the ways we can bless God, and it's a very beautiful thing, is we can bless God by eulogizing His attributes. And number two, we can bless God in a very special way by itemizing His benefits. So I want you to take your bulletin, if you will, your bulletin in hand, and maybe fill in just a couple of words this morning as we journey along the way. First of all, we need to eulogize the attributes of God. Now, give me a moment or two, and that will make even better sense. But we get all of that in these very first two verses. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And that little phrase, "His holy name," encompasses all the attributes of God. So one of the ways that we can bless God is it must begin in our soul. It must begin in our soul. And when it begins in our soul, that is, in our mind, in our emotions, and in our will, what do? We begin first by thanking God for His attributes. And then once we've done that, we then, after we have thought about that, then we begin to deal with His blessings. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. In other words, we eulogize the attributes of God. Now you say, what do you mean eulogize? Well, we never hear that word often outside of a funeral service. If you go to funerals, many times someone will get up, and in fact, you may look on the program, it'll say eulogy, and then by that, there'll be someone's name. What is a eulogy? Well, eulogy means that something is either written on paper or it is spoken in words that praises the character of another person. Who they are, who they were. Now, I go to a lot of funerals, obviously, and I hear all kind of eulogies, and it's really a very fascinating thing. Many of the eulogies, as you listen to them, the person giving the eulogy sometimes talks more about themselves than they do the person they're eulogizing. And many other times, it's like a person will say, I remember when Bill and I, one day Bill did this, and one day Bill did that, and one day Bill did young. That's not a eulogy. That's an example of who Bill was. A eulogy would be something like, you say, you know, Bill was a man of great integrity, or Bill was a man of great sincerity, or this person was a person of great compassion. And then from that, you know, a person might share a little story about how this person expressed compassion or did this or did that or yonder. But eulogy, you're praising a person for who they were. What kind of person was that? Well, a person of truth, a person of integrity, a person of honor, a person who could keep their word, their yes was yes or no was no. That's what a eulogy is. Now, what we need to learn to do, and it's something maybe we've not thought about in this context. Of course, when we eulogize the attributes of God, we're not eulogizing a dead person. We're eulogizing a live person. God's not dead. But God has these attributes. He has these characteristics. He has these things about His nature. And one of the ways we can bless God is very simply do what? We, step one, we think of God's attributes. That's step one. And then step two, we thank God for His blessings. But step one is we think of God's attributes. How do you bless God? You begin by thinking of God's attributes. Now, during the week, I made a little list of 20 of God's attributes. This list is not exhaustive, but these are very good attributes. Beside each one of these, I have a scripture reference where I got this. And then beside that, I have a little, maybe a phrase or a statement that kind of clarifies what we're talking about. I thought about having it made into a bookmark, but the bookmark would have been larger than a book. It's too much here. And I thought, well, what shall I do? Then I thought, well, they could pull up the sermon that goes on the church webpage, And you could scroll down. The notes will be there after, say, afternoon tomorrow. The notes will be there. And in the notes will be these 20 attributes. And I think it would be well worth your doing. And you say, well, I'm hearing the sermon this morning. I don't want to ruin my Monday having to look at it again. I just want the attributes. Well, send Jennifer Phillips an email and say, send me the attributes. I didn't want to hear the sermon again. And she'll send you the attributes. But let me just kind of run over the list. I mean, these are attributes of God that we can bless God by thinking about these attributes. First of all, God is a personal God. He's not a he is a he, not an it. He's holy, merciful, just, jealous, faithful, truthful, eternal, unchangeable. Aren't you glad God's unchangeable? Oh, my gracious. Omnipotent. That's all powerful. Omniscient. He knows everything. Omnipresent. He's everywhere. Wherever you go this week, wherever you go, wherever any of us go, God's there. Oh, what a blessed peace that gives. Invisible, incomprehensible, creator, redeemer. God is Spirit, God is Savior, King of Kings, and God is Father. And oh, these are wonderful attributes of God. And beside each one, there's scripture reference. During the week, I not only jotted those down, I went in my Bible and reread and thought through these and then have the little comments to the side. I would encourage you, I think it will help you to better bless God if you can focus first on His attributes. Eulogize the attributes of God. Think about His being before you dwell upon His blessings. Step one, think about His being. Step two, then thank Him for His blessings. I confess, all too often I skip step one. All too often, I thank God for His blessings, but I just somewhat don't dwell very much on eulogizing His attributes. Before the blessings, think of His being. Think who He is. This is who God is based on what the Scripture teaches us about God. So we look at our Scripture this morning. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And it begins with your soul. You have a soul. Now, we know we have a body. We see our body. And let me give you a scripture verse that might be something that would be helpful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 16, the Bible tells us, don't grow weary, that the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Are any of you aware that your outward man is perishing? I noticed that this morning when I was shaving. But let me tell you something. The outward man of all of us is perishing, but the inward man, that's our soul. Our soul is being renewed day by day. And our soul can do what? Our soul can bless God in a sense by what? Thinking about His attributes and then eulogize them. You say, how do you mean? Well, maybe if you do a prayer journal, as you have your prayer time, not all 20 of these or others, but perhaps maybe one of these would jump up. God is He's omnipresent. He's everywhere we go. This week, I'm going to be in one place this week. It's not normal for me. Not sure how it'll all be. But here's a piece. The wonderful thing, God will be there. God will be there. And we no doubt this week, perhaps, if not the next or soon, all of us will be in situations, circumstances, things that we're not familiar. Always remember this, God is there. And we eulogize that by in our prayer journal or in our words. We say to God, God, I bless you that you are omnipresent and you're omniscient and all these other attributes. So I encourage you, I really do, get the list and think about it. And once you've thought about it, then bless the Lord, by either writing it in your journal or building it into your daily prayers as you talk to God. Now, the second way we can bless God is we need to itemize the benefits of God. Now, this is the good part. This is the good part. Let's look at it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then look in verse number, the latter part of verse 2, and forget not all His benefits. Verse 3, who forgives all your sins. Now, if you underline in your Bible, the little word all reminds us how God's forgiveness is inclusive. Whatever you've done, look what this verse says. He forgives all your iniquities. He forgives all your iniquities. Now, in the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, we have English, of course, but the Hebrew language is very, very expressive, more than the English language. And a good illustration is here. Like in our English language, we have the word sin, S-I-N. Well, in the Hebrew language, they have three words for sin. One of those is translated into English as sin. One is translated as transgressions, and one is translated, a different word, is translated iniquities. Now, in our scripture this morning, we're looking, and they all mean this, all talking about the same thing. But now here's what the writer wrote, who forgives all your, underline that word, very personal. I'm glad God forgives you of your iniquities, but I'm glad God forgives me of my iniquities. Oh, what a blessed thing, all of them. He forgives us our iniquities. This word iniquity, the idea, it denotes bent or twisted. The word transgression is talking about sin, but it denotes rebellious. You see that? And then, of course, sin, the idea, missing the mark. Like if you were shooting a bow and arrow, you have a bullseye. You want to shoot that arrow into the bullseye. But many times, the arrow doesn't go into the bullseye. You miss the mark. You're off here, off there somewhere. Now, this is the beautiful idea that is being conveyed. Look at it again. Who forgives all your iniquities. In other words, in your life, in my life, there are times we just kind of get spiritually bent, spiritually twisted. Or maybe better expressed another way, just absolutely rebellious to what God teaches. Many who profess to be Christians are rebellious toward God, and they're rebellious toward what God teaches in His Word. They do not fear the Lord. And that little phrase, fear the Lord, means that you respect the ways of God as revealed in the Word of God, so that you value the opinion of God above anyone else. That's the idea of fearing the Lord. When the Bible says, fear the Lord, it's not saying be scared of God. It means you respect God's ways as revealed in God's Word more than you respect the opinion of any other. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Now, sometimes we just rebel against what God says. Many professing Christians today will rebel against what God says. And then oftentimes we miss the mark. We miss the bullseye. None of us are sinless. We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. But our heart is when your heart does that and has no concern whatsoever. It means if you're saved, you're really bent, you're really twisted, you're really out of shape spiritually. And it happens little by little by little. But oh, what a blessed thing is. And then look what it says. This is the very first benefit mentioned, who forgives all your iniquities. And then it goes on to give other benefits. But look at just the first. The first one mentioned is right here. Who forgives all your iniquities. You see, until you've experienced that, these other benefits will never come your way. This is the starting place. This is why it's listed first on the list. If I were preaching a sermon just on the benefits, I encourage you to itemize the benefits of God, even though this morning we only look at number one. But if you want to know how you can bless God, you eulogize, you praise what? His attributes, His being, who God is. You thank God for what God does. You praise God for who God is. And when you do that, you are blessing the Lord. Not only that, when you itemize His benefits, what are you doing? You are blessing the Lord. I love what this says. Forget not all of His benefits. Number one on the list, who forgives all your iniquities. I want to ask you a question. Have you been forgiven? That's a very valid question. Have you been forgiven? Let me ask you this. Do you know the peace of a pardoned life? Now that is a blessed thing. And if your answer is yes, I do know the peace of a pardoned life. Yes, I have been forgiven my sins. Then this morning, this Sunday before Thanksgiving, from the depths of your soul to the very heart of God, you need to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are a God of forgiveness. And when you do that, you have eulogized one of God's attributes and you have blessed the Lord. Now, here's the question. Have you been forgiven? Do you know the peace of a pardoned life? I think we can put our hands on that in a very clear way. You either have, if you have the peace of a pardoned life, you know that feeling. You may say, no, I don't. Or you may say, I'm not sure about that. Listen carefully. Be thankful. You say, be thankful. Yes, be thankful that you got up this morning and came to church. Because this morning, you can do something about that. Look back at what this verse says. Forget not all God's benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. You see, the wonderful thing is, today, some people in this room can actually be saved. They can be forgiven. They can experience the peace of a pardoned life. And it's just like a load lifted when you know your soul is right with God. You're still a sinner, but you're saved. You don't want to sin. And it's one of God's greatest benefits, and we need to itemize the benefits. Others today, listen, if you say, you know, I think I have, but I'm not sure. Or I'm fuzzy on this. I'm confused on this. I can't get complete, total peace on this. Listen, the good thing is today, be thankful. You can settle that. You can solve that. And it's the most beautiful thing just to know that your soul is right with God. And you say, how in the world do we do such a thing as that? Very simple. You repent of your sins. That means you turn. That means areas where you're bent or twisted, you say, with God's help, I'm not going to let sin bend me in that direction. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit of God move me back and be straight and right with God. Or it may be some area in your life, you're rebellious against the teachings of God. You say, I really don't respect God's ways as revealed in God's Word, and I don't value His opinion over any other person or thing. All right, then that's rebellion against God. And repentance means you're going to say, I'm through being rebellious toward God. I'm going to do what God's Word teaches. The power of the Holy Spirit will enable me to do this as best as possible. Or it may be in your life, you're just missing the mark. You're Christian, but you're missing the mark. And you say, you know, I'm missing the mark over here in something I'm thinking about. I'm missing the mark over here in something I'm doing. I'm missing the mark out there in something I'm not doing. You know, the Holy Spirit revealed that to you and say, look, I'm tired of living my life missing the mark. I want to live my life aiming at the bullseye. Not in perfection. Sometimes I miss a little, but that is where my heart is. My heart is in the bullseye. Others this morning, you say, hey, I can answer yes to that question. Yes, I've been forgiven. Yes, I know the peace of a pardoned life. But Maybe this morning, this Sunday before Thanksgiving. What about church? Where does church fit in this? Every believer should have a church. Christ is head of the church. And church is not something you just do when you don't have other things to do. Church is not say, you know, I'm just going to fit it in somewhere. You don't fit God's church in anywhere. Listen, Christ died for the church. And as believers, we not only need to be part of His church, we need to find our place in His church. And we need to serve God through His church. It could be today that God will speak to some in our services about not just being saved, not just about settling their salvation, but about saying, you know what? I've been a little bent and twisted about church. I need to get in church, not just to belong to the church, but to serve God through my church. Find my place in the church and be faithful in every opportunity and responsibility that God gives me. So that is this morning why we should be thankful. Now, to be saved, you just repent of your sins, then you ask God to forgive you, and then number three, and this is where so many struggle, you trust God to do it. I want you to bow with me this morning, heads bowed and hearts open to the Lord. I just would believe this morning, Sunday before Thanksgiving, I believe some are here today. In fact, I believe it every time we gather with this many people. There are some who no doubt belong to churches. Perhaps you belong to this church. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me, you have never been born again. You've never been born again. And there are signs, if you'll be honest with yourself about it. And you need to search your soul this morning. Just like David, he talked to his own soul. I want to encourage you this morning, for just a moment, talk to your soul. Talk to your soul. Because one day, this outward body is going to die. Yes, it is. When you die, and you will, your soul is going to come out of your earthly body and either be in the presence of God for all eternity or spend all eternity separated from God in the depths and the horror of hell. Your soul is not going to die. That's why the most important thing about you is your soul. We spend endless hours and endless money taking care of our bodies. And we should. Body's temple of the Lord. But what about your soul? What kind of care are you giving your soul? And I encourage you this morning, if you're not sure when your outward body dies that your soul's going to heaven, I'm encouraging you this morning, just right now, say, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I want to know the peace of a pardoned life. And I'm asking you now, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and make me a Christian. I thank you that you died to pay for my sins. I thank you, God, this morning you've taken all of my sins and put them now on Jesus, and He's paid for them, and I'm now at peace, and I trust you with my soul. Now, with heads still bowed, others this morning that say, you know, I've prayed prayers like that or something like that, but I can't get complete peace. Settle your salvation this morning. Just say, Lord God, maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not, but I want to know I'm saved. I want to know that my soul is right with you. And so if I'm not saved, God, I'm asking you now, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a Christian. I trust you to save me. Thank you. I've settled my salvation this morning in Jesus' name. Now, with head still bowed, others who are Christians, your soul, you know your soul's right with God. not by your righteousness, but by His righteousness. The Bible says God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Look, being a church member is not how you're made righteous. Being baptized is not how you're made righteous. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that you're made righteous. Now, if you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. Well, what about your church? This morning, if you're looking for a church, you've been thinking about, hey, I really do need to get involved in a church. Well, the way to know is when you go to a church and you leave, you feel like you've been to church. That's a simple way to know where God wants you in church. Maybe today is the day you want to come and put your life here in First Baptist. We'll help you find your place. Father, I pray for some today who need to come, place their life in the church. Others who need to come for their baptism, God. I pray for souls this morning, God. And may at a moment, when we leave this room, we walk out with the peace of a pardoned soul, knowing our soul is right, committed to blessing you, God, by eulogizing your attributes and by itemizing your blessings, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.